In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. During the Christmas season, we talked about how the miracle of the incarnation of Christ, being both perfectly God and perfectly human, brought the divine life close to us. Today, we start a new season in the church calendar, the church tradition, season of Epiphany, which tells us what that looks like and how we get there. The season of Epiphany is unique in that it begins and ends with some interesting words. It begins and ends with the words of God the Father saying to God the Son, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." This happens today if you remember the baptism of Christ, and then at the last Sunday of Epiphany, before we move into Lent, we hear about the Transfiguration, where we hear the same exact words. "This is my Son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And what these words tell us, the way I would describe divine life, as being this kind of Trinitarian love. Love that is continually passed back and forth, given and received between Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The idea that in it is contained affirmation, affection, love, support. And so within this three persons in one God, there is this incredible sense of love. And because of Christ, we have unity with Christ. Because he was perfectly human, as well as perfectly God, and walked amongst us, and we have unity with him through baptism, we get to participate in that same divine Trinitarian love. It is a great gift that has been given to us. Because it is more than just this extra gift that we are given as we live our lives. This is something that we were meant for from the very beginning. But this love that we are destined for, that is our gift, this Trinitarian love, is something that precedes you. It goes on and on throughout eternity, so it is always there. And it's this wonderful thing that Christ has brought close to us. But some sisters say, Jesus has not been cooperating. What we see in our lesson for today, the lesson of Jesus being baptized, is a glimpse of the Trinity in our world. We see Jesus, God the Son, being baptized. We see the Holy Spirit descending upon him in bodily form like a dove. And we hear the voice of the Father. And the voice we heard was this, was God the Father saying, "You are my Son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." So not only do we get to see Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or see them manifest in our world, but what we also get to experience is how they interact with one another. It's kind of the interesting thing, whenever you look at a group of people, you can find that they have certain ways of relating and responding to one another. And what we see in the Trinity is this relating and responding is very positive, very caring, and very affirming. I mean, how often do we see people speaking to one another in this manner? "You are my Son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." If you'd like to have some fun sometime, head over to town center and just say those words randomly to any stranger you come across. "You are my beloved, and with you I am well pleased." They're going to be a little surprised if you say these. And that's because this Trinitarian love is something that we are not used to in this world, and yet it is our divine destiny. This is what we get to participate in as Christians through our baptism. Imagine if human beings did speak to this, a lot would change in our society. Certainly the 24-hour news networks would find different ways of reporting news. They are having stories that are affirming, affectionate, and caring. Love is given and received. And while this is unusual, it is what God has always intended for us. We were made in God's image. We are made to participate in this love. We are made to live in the divine life and to also experience Trinitarian love. So what happens through Christ is that we are invited into that love. It's like an energy that is always there. And through Christ and through our baptism, we are invited to be a part of it. When people approach John the Baptist and he was baptizing people for repentance in the Jordan River, they started to wonder if he was the Messiah. And he told them that he wasn't, and according to the Gospel of Luke, he responded this way. He said, "I am baptizing you with water for repentance, but one will come after me who I am not even worthy to untie the thong of his sandal, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire." Now the thing about both water and fire, with these images that he's using, is both of them are something that's purifying. You can imagine water in the sense of, just take for an example, your supper dishes. You know, at the end of supper, you take them, either you know, wash them in the sink or put them into a dishwasher, and that is, so this water is going to purify the dishes so that they're ready for the next meal. Without that purifying aspect of water, we would go to eat our next meal, there'd be little bits of food that all stick to our plates. Nobody really wants that. Fire itself can be purified as well, and the heat of the fire is properly used. Now, just think for an example of coals. Now, if you take a just raw coal ore or any kind of metal and it's put into a furnace, when the temperature is kept at just right, what it does is it melts away all the stuff that you don't want. And then what you're left with is the pure gold. And sometimes even both heat and water, they can work together to purify something. You ever notice with your life, you've got a fry pan, you're cooking something really nice, you've got all those little bits stuck to the ends. I learned this trick a few years ago. But while it's still on heat, the pan's still hot, you throw some water in there on top of it, it just boils right away. Kind of loosens up those little bits and get in there with your spatula, just pop them right off. The idea here, this imagery, is something that is purified. The problem we experience as human beings is that how we are meant for Trinitarian love, we don't experience it. It's not our natural state. And so we have filled that space that was meant for Trinitarian love with other things that are that may be good, but not quite as good as Trinitarian love. Sometimes we fill those things with stuff that is, or we fill with things that are just plain bad. You know, being nasty to one another, being unkind, all of that. And that needs to be cleaned out. One of the things that happens in baptism is where we say, "Yes, I need this." You're saying yes to God. You're saying, "I want Trinitarian love in my life. I want this part of my soul that is empty otherwise. I want to fill it with what it was designed for. This fellowship of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I want to experience this love and affection and affirmation." But it also says, "I acknowledge I need to make room for it." This is why at baptism there is the renunciation of evil, the acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord. We need the sense of being purified from all those things that take up the place that Trinitarian love rightly belongs. We need to be cleaned out. And God is more than willing to do that for us. Sometimes when we ask, "How am I to go about this? How does this happen?" The other great gift we have is that Christ leads us into this Trinitarian love. A curious detail in the Gospels is that Jesus comes also to be baptized. And it's so curious and so special that we set aside a special day in the church here to do this, to celebrate it. We are celebrating today the baptism of Christ. And we might say to ourselves, "Well, why?" Christ was perfect human and perfect God. He didn't have any need to be purified by anything. He was already fully participating in the divine life because he was fully God. He didn't need to have more Trinitarian love because he was already completely filled up with it. And so why would he do this? Matter of fact, John the Baptist asked, other versions of this story in different Gospels, Jesus comes, and John the Baptist looks at him, and remember, he was his cousin, and he knew full well who Christ was, and he says, I need to be baptized by you. Why are you coming to me? Jesus' response was, just let it be this way for the sake of righteousness. What he was doing was showing us how this is done for our sake. Not because he needed it, but to help us, to lead us along the way. So baptism is very important. It's important for every Christian. And so Jesus says, I'm going to do this first to help you. If you have any kind of endeavor or whatever, you've learned something that might change your life, you always learn it from somebody who's gone before you. Imagine the case of a piano teacher who is teaching young people how to make music. And probably from the earliest times, they're showing the student how to play their scales, where to place their fingers, how to go from do to do, what the different notes are, and they have to use black keys and white keys. Now, presumably, because this teacher has been doing this for quite a while, they've already mastered the art of scales. They know how to play their scales. Now, but this teacher, for the sake of their students, just starts from the basic things. Here's where you place your hands. Here's how to move your thumb and your other fingers to play the scale. It was the same with Jesus. Even though he had no need of baptism, he needed to do it for our sake, so that we can follow him in his path. And in doing so, in following Jesus, both in his baptism, we are following him throughout his entire life, even his death and his resurrection. One of the things we do when we're baptized, or when someone's baptized, we pour water on their heads 3 times. Or if it's full immersion there, they're immersed in the water 3 times. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And what that does is it allows us to vicariously participate in Christ's death. Just as Christ was in the grave for 3 days, we go through this 3 times of being immersed in the waters of baptism. Thankfully, we don't have to go through this death, literally. We do it symbolically and vicariously through the waters of baptism. In this baptism, we are able to die to sin and die to anything that is not Trinitarian love. And in doing so, we also become alive to Christ. We become alive to everything that is Trinitarian love. Just in the waters of baptism also, we are following Christ all the way, even through his life, and his resurrection. Because we all know that after death comes resurrection. It comes new life. And for us, that new life is participation in this great Trinitarian law. This is a wonderful gift for us. A wonderful gift because when we experience Trinitarian love, it's so freeing because we really become our truest selves. God designed us to be in fellowship with him, to experience his love, affirmation, affection being passed back and forth, given and received. It exists within the Trinity, and it is a gift that God gives to us. We are meant for something much greater than mundane experience. We are meant for Trinitarian love. That Trinitarian love that precedes us because it already exists throughout eternity. So God invites us to participate in it. Sometimes we need to be purified of those things that get in his way, purified of those things that are not Trinitarian love. And that's okay. We have the waters of baptism. We have Jesus Christ who leads us in the way because he has gone before us so that we ourselves